Amen. It's really good to worship with you all. And man, that flute is sounding so good. Love hearing a wind instrument. Gotta bust the sax out sometime. All right. Welcome everyone. Good to see you. My name's Darren. If you don't know me, great to have you together with us again on Zoom Sunday. Want to welcome any guests that we've got or new folks. Thanks for coming along and for joining us. And I want to encourage you guys to open your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 2 tonight. So Mark chapter 2 in your Bibles, or on your phones, wherever you're looking at scripture. And then let me just pray for us to get us started. Father, we pray that as we open your word, that your spirit would speak to our hearts. And so we invite you now to open our ears to what you have for us today. And we invite you to open our hearts and to make room for us to be transformed by the power of your truth alive within us. So I invite you, Spirit, now to move and to work through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to start a little bit differently than I normally do, and here's why. As a preacher, some weeks you just work on the passage, and other weeks the passage works on you. And this was one of those weeks. Normally what I would do is get us right into the text and kind of teach our way through it, and maybe toss in a personal anecdote and a testimony a little bit later down the page, just to illustrate the point and to keep you listening. But I'm going to take a risk here and do it the other way around tonight, partly because I know that if I can get through this part, then the rest of the talk is going to be a breeze. Partly because the story in front of us can be so familiar to us. And so I really want to help us look at it and listen to it differently. But mostly because this week I was the paralyzed man on the stretcher who needed some friends to rip through a roof and lower me into the loving presence of Jesus. I needed forgiveness and healing. And so I share this just with caution, but also with a real sense that there may be something in this for more of us than just for me. And I share it to give glory to God. That's really why I want to do this. So I had an opportunity in this past week to get some prayer around a particularly traumatic memory from when I was in my early teenage years. And I'm not going to go into the details about it because the story isn't really about me, at least what I want to share with you, but it's about what Jesus was like during that prayer time. The prayer time itself was only about 30 minutes long. And guess what? It happened on Zoom, of all places, with four other people. It turns out God can do his work on Zoom. But you know what? These friends lovingly and gently brought me to a place of encounter with Jesus in prayer. There's not really another way to describe it. And do you know what Jesus did right there in the pain of that memory? He spoke forgiveness to me for the things that I'd carried from my past that were not really mine to carry, and for the ways that I've hurt others because of that stuff. And he also spoke forgiveness towards those who had hurt me. And so, right there in that prayer time, Jesus's heart of love and compassion was extended to me in such a real way. I would have to describe it as healing through the power of forgiveness. And so, church, I just want to testify that it was powerful and it was real. And I want to give God the praise. Now, I don't know how that lands with you, but here's why I start with that. The prayer time reminded me of something I just recently read in this really amazing book by an American pastor called, he's called Dane Ortlund. His book is called Gentle and Lowly, and the subtitle is The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. It's a really, really good book. I would encourage you to read it if you're a book reading type. But let me give you a quote. It's a little bit long. So Ortlund says, Jesus walked the earth, rehumanizing the dehumanized and cleansing the unclean. Why? Because his heart refused to let him sleep in. Sadness confronted him in every town. So wherever he went, whenever he was confronted with pain and longing, he spread the good contagion of his cleansing mercy. Thomas Goodwin, who's a Puritan writer, said, "Christ is love covered over in flesh." Picture it. And this the quote continues, "If compassion clothed itself in a human body and went walking around this earth, what would it look like?" Well, we don't have to wonder. The same Christ who wept at the tomb of Lazarus weeps with us in our lonely despair. The same one who reached out and touched lepers puts his arm around us today when we feel misunderstood and sidelined. The Jesus who reached out and cleansed messy sinners reaches into our souls and answers our half-hearted plea for mercy with the mighty, invincible cleansing of one who cannot bear to do otherwise. So listen, I know you're not here to hear my book report. So let's get into the text. But as we do, I want to invite you to listen with ears that are quick to listen with your own need for forgiveness and healing in mind. Okay, can I invite you to do that? And I want to invite you to be on the lookout for what Jesus is like, how he handles this situation. Let's look at what Jesus says and what he does. And that's why we're going through the book of Mark right now, to take a closer look at who Jesus is and what he's like. So let's look together at the first part of Mark's gospel in chapter 2, okay? I'm just going to read it all the way through. Chapter 2, verse 1. "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' And so he said to the man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Now, the first thing I want you to do as we take a look at this text is to pay attention to all of the nonverbals. You know, research shows that at least 55% of communication is nonverbal. So just take a note here. Jesus is the only one who does any talking in this story until the very end when people praise God. So much that's going on here is unspoken. The four men don't say anything. The paralyzed man doesn't say anything. You might think that the teachers of the law are talking in verse 6, but no, we only know that because Jesus knows what they're thinking. So pay attention, readers of Mark's gospel. This is a story where Jesus gets the mic, and it turns out that what he has to say is incredibly important. So if they're not saying anything, what are the other people in this story doing? Well, for starters, there's the crowd. When people heard that Jesus had come to Capernaum, definitely a bigger crowd than a house could hold, probably not socially distanced, probably over the allowable number limit for a household. There's a crowd. And then there's the four men. Look at what they're doing. It's in verses 3 and 4. I'm just picking up on the action verbs there. They're bringing, they're digging, they're lowering. And all of these Jesus takes as signs of their faith. Look at verse 5 when he sees their faith. Guys, this is a picture, an amazing picture of love in action. You know, we're reminded somewhere else in scripture, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." last weekend, the leadership team got together on Saturday, and as part of the day, we looked at our mission statement as GSM. Anybody remember it? It's, we exist to love Jesus, to love our neighbors, and to see lives transformed. And it really stood out to me that that word love is there twice. It's got to mean something. It means being active. Our love needs to be demonstrated. And these four men carrying the paralyzed man, they demonstrate it beautifully. They're bringing, they're digging, they're lowering, right? And now compare that to the teachers of the law. Look at verse 6. I love this. You know, which one do you want to be? Verse 6, they're sitting there. And then what? They're thinking to themselves, sitting there in silent condemnation of what's happening. So that's the teachers of the law. And now look at what Jesus is doing. Verse 2 tells us that he's preaching the word. And I just love that detail. What would it have been like to sit under Jesus's teaching? You ever thought about that? Man, to hear Jesus preach the word. Well, it turns out he's got some amazing illustrations coming up in his talk as well. He's preaching the word in verse 2. And then in verse 5, he forgives. He declares forgiveness for the paralyzed man. In verses 8 and 9, he challenges the teachers of the law. He asks, why are you thinking these things? And then he addresses their unspoken opposition. And actually, that's kind of a theme that we're going to see in the upcoming weeks. This part of Mark, Mark's gospel, is where we see Jesus being confronted and challenged more and more over who he says he is and what he's doing. So Jesus confronts and challenges the teachers of the law. And then he declares his authority to forgive sins. That's in verse 10. Followed by the healing of the paralyzed man in verse 11, with the power of his word. So I just want to dig in a little bit deeper on a couple of these things. First of all, let's look at what Jesus wants us to know from this encounter. We've got a lot here. And if you look at all the nonverbals, lots of stuff's going on. But what does Jesus say is important here? And Mark gives us a really big clue in verse 10. Jesus himself says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. See, right here, he's claiming his identity, saying who he is. He's the Son of Man, a special phrase that he only uses a few times in the gospel. And he's claiming his authority. He's claiming his power, in this case, the power to forgive sins. And note that Jesus is really clear about where he has authority to forgive sins, right here on earth. Now, you have to understand how completely shocking these words would have been. A human declaring forgiveness like this would have never before been seen until Jesus. It had only been God in heaven offering and declaring forgiveness. Even temple priests with all of their ritual sacrifices could not declare forgiveness. That was reserved for God alone. And so no wonder the teachers of the law, who knew all of the rules inside and out, had some opinions about what was happening right in front of them. So take the other part of verse 10 when Jesus says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He's declaring forgiveness. And then he evidences it with healing. So just two things that I want to highlight in this brief interaction. Jesus says, this is the really important part. I want you to know this part. Two things to highlight for us tonight. First, it's the compassionate heart of Jesus that makes him quick to forgive. Did you notice how quickly Jesus moves to forgive this man's sin? You know, Mark is the kind of writer that leaves a whole lot of detail out. But I don't think we pay enough attention to this aspect of who Jesus is. He is quick and ready to forgive. He doesn't ask us to clean up our act or to make things right or to apologize like we really mean it. In this case, he doesn't even ask the man to name his sins and really truly own them. He just forgives completely, entirely. Why does he have this compassionate, loving heart? Well, for one thing, he knows what it's like to suffer in his humanity. You got to remember, Jesus at this point would be 30 years old in the story. You know, he knows at this point what it's like to live in a human body. And with all of this, Jesus is the full expression of the loving heart of God. Hebrews 7:25 says this, therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. It's the compassionate heart of Jesus that makes him quick to forgive, and he rushes to it. Here's my second point. It's Jesus's status as God's son that gives Jesus the authority to forgive sins. As much as his humanity and his familiarity with suffering are at play in his compassion, here we see the fullness of God, the divinity of Jesus in his power to forgive sins. He's more than just a celebrity preacher who can draw a huge crowd. You know, he's more than a miracle worker with a decent reputation for ridding people of demons and diseases. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And this is what Jesus has to say about his own authority. This is from John chapter 12. He says to his disciples, "For I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." And so with that authority, Jesus forgives. With that authority to forgive comes the power to forgive sins right here on earth. Jesus declares forgiveness and then picks up on the unspoken criticisms of those teachers. Look at the nonverbals in verse 8. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Verse 9, "Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he says to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Jesus is saying, "Let me show you my authority to forgive by demonstrating my authority to heal as well." You got to kind of wonder why. Why did he go through all that? Because Jesus could pronounce forgiveness in a room full of crowded room full of people and have nothing to show for it. People would not necessarily know what had happened. No one in the room would have noticed. But an unmistakable, miraculous healing, look at verse 12, takes place in full view of them all. It amazes everybody. So just to recap my two notes here, just on this thing that Jesus says is so important for you to know, it's the compassionate heart of Jesus that makes him quick to forgive in this story tonight. Why? Because he's fully human. And it's his status as God's son that authorizes Jesus to forgive. Why? Because he's also fully God. That's what Mark is telling us here. You know, where else do we see these two dynamics at play in Jesus? We see them on the cross, when the compassionate king lays down his power and his authority to suffer on our behalf. In fact, the shape of these two points forms a cross in our minds. You know, if you kind of think about it, in his humanity, Jesus reaches out horizontally to forgive and to heal. And in his divinity, Jesus reaches vertically to bring the forgiveness of heaven to the dirt and the dust of the earth. So the prophet Isaiah says this in chapter 53, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." This moment here in chapter 2 of Mark's gospel is cross-shaped. And I've mentioned before that all of Mark's gospel points us to the cross, where Jesus, who is full of power to forgive and heal, willingly lays down his life to suffer in our place. That is his love in action. And so what does this mean for all of us? How do we live out the truth and the beauty of this passage in our everyday lives? Well, Good Shepherd Mission, I want to encourage us that in our mission, we should be quick to demonstrate our love through action from hearts that are overflowing with the compassionate love of Christ, who moved first to extend forgiveness. We should be quick to demonstrate love in action in our mission. And in our lives, let's seek to be like those four men who are ready to carry people to a place where they can encounter Jesus. Maybe that's in prayer. Maybe that's in really practical ways. Maybe that's just bringing them in to encounter what faith is really like, what the community of faith is really like. In our lives, let's be like those four men. And just for you tonight, if this is where you are in this space, whatever's going on for you today, I want to invite you to open yourself to receiving that loving, compassionate heart of Jesus as he extends forgiveness to you. And so I do just kind of wonder, what would that be like? What would it be like if we were that kind of place for our church community, where we could let the community around us see our love in action? Can you picture it? Where we could let them see us living from a place of that's overflowing with the loving, compassionate heart of Jesus, where we're forgiven people, where we're healed people. What would that be like? Well, I think we get a glimpse of that in the end of this story here in verse 12, when people see forgiveness and healing being lived out before their very eyes. They're amazed. And you know what? They praise God. They praise God. You know, for 2 weeks in a row on Zoom, the last couple of weeks, we've opened with Psalm 103. So I'm going to close this talk with that as a prayer. And it's a prayer of praise, gratitude, and thanks for the one who sees and responds with compassion, love, and forgiveness. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Praise the Lord. Amen.